Imagine a government successfully building 5.2 million homes for its people, but like accidentally engineering a massive poverty trap in the process. Welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking right at you today because we're unpacking a really massive systemic shift in how an entire nation lives.
Yeah, it's a huge, complex topic.
It really is. I mean, our mission today is to figure out how South Africa plans to dismantle the enduring spatial legacy of apartheid and, you know, tackle a staggering 3.4 million housing backlog using the recently gazetted 2024 white paper for human settlements.
Right, and 30 years after the dawn of democracy, the government is, well, they're completely abandoning their old strategy. They are pivoting away from merely building isolated houses to cultivating integrated human settlements.
Which is a pretty big distinction.
Yeah.
But you really can't understand why they're making that pivot without looking at the reality on the ground right now. I mean, those 5.2 million housing opportunities delivered since 1994, that represents undeniable progress.
Oh, absolutely. Today, something like 88.5% of households live in formal dwellings.
Right, but somehow the demand is still completely outpacing the supply.
Yeah, and that is heavily driven by rapid urbanization. Right now, 63% of the population is squeezed into major municipalities. So the state was trying to keep up by building mass low-income housing on cheap land, but, you know, cheap land is usually found far away from economic hubs.
So they were essentially building islands without bridges, like providing a physical shelter, a roof over someone's head, but leaving them completely stranded from jobs, transport, and just basic amenities.
Exactly. And the numbers show exactly how stranded people are. The national unemployment rate sits at a staggering 32.9%. But if you look at the rural areas of former homelands, the employment rate drops to barely 21%.
Wow, barely 21%.
Yeah, it is highly geographically skewed. The old system focused on the rapid delivery of free mass housing, which was a capital subsidy that caught the public imagination and gave millions of people dignity. But it just wasn't financially or spatially sustainable forever.
Okay, but if the old model was just building poverty traps by placing people miles away from opportunity, why did it take three decades to officially change course?
Well, it comes down to a few things. Because of a shrinking national budget, escalating material costs, and the growing impacts of climate change, the state simply cannot be the sole provider of free mass housing anymore.
Right.
So they are adopting a whole-of-society approach, basically stepping back to act as a regulator and an enabler alongside the private sector and civil society.
Hold on, I have to stop you there. National budgets are being slashed, and economic growth is stagnating at, what, around 1.2%?
Yeah, roughly.
So is calling the government an enabler just a polite way of admitting they're broke and can't afford to build houses for the poor anymore?
It is a completely valid critique, but the shift is more about blending state funding with private finance to actually fix the market. Think about the missing middle.
Okay, you mean the people who earn too much for free housing?
Exactly. If you are earning just enough to be disqualified from free government housing, but too little to get a traditional mortgage from a bank, you are stuck. The new policy creates legal and financial conditions to empower that specific group, promoting self-building and private development.
So they're also changing how they handle the lowest income areas then. Instead of, you know, bulldozing informal settlements and moving people miles away, they're focusing on in-situ upgrading.
Which is a massive operational shift. In-situ upgrading means leaving the community intact where it currently is and retrofitting the area with plumbing, electricity, and legal property rights.
That sounds incredibly complicated to pull off.
It is, yeah. But you combine that with digitizing the National Needs Register to cut out corruption and aggressively reclaiming hijacked inner-city buildings, and you start to see how they're trying to weave people into the existing urban fabric rather than pushing them to the fringes.
So the evolution from isolated housing projects to holistic living human settlements is a huge, complex undertaking. I mean, it's going to require total societal buy-in, not just a government handout.
Definitely. And as we transition to this in-situ upgrading model, we have to consider the environmental reality. Climate change is triggering way more extreme weather events.
Oh, for sure.
Local municipalities are going to have to figure out how to protect these newly formalized settlements from environmental disasters before the concrete even dries.
Right, because when you leave communities in floodplains and simply upgrade their shacks to concrete, you aren't removing the danger, you're just making the disaster permanent.
Mm-hmm.
How do we build the infrastructure and the resilience to actually weather the storm before the next flood hits? That is something for you to mull over until next time.